Welcome to Messenger International. Messenger International, a ministry founded by John and Lisa Bevere, is passionate about imparting the fear of the Lord and inspiring freedom in your life.
Now, I want to say last session was probably one of the most confrontive ones, but you know what? I find that sometimes confrontation is a good thing. You know, when I was a boy and maybe I was struggling with something and my mom took me to the dentist and I had some pain in my mouth or something was going on, that dentist, I didn't really like it when he, you know, took that tooth out. I didn't like getting that shot, didn't like getting that tooth out, but I'm going to tell you what, a couple weeks later, I felt great. How many of you know that the Word of God is like a sharp surgeon's knife, and it will cut out the things that will kill you, and it may not be comfortable when it's happening, but how many of you know it's a whole lot better to get that thing out, right? That's basically what happened in that last session. Now, this session, we're going to review once again, and we're going to go into another exciting aspect of grace, but let's again read Ephesians 3:10. Through Christians like yourselves, this extraordinary plan of God, everybody say extraordinary, is becoming known and talked about even among the angels. I say let's give the angels something to talk about. Extraordinary, it's defined as beyond what is usual, exceptional, exceeding the common measure. Its antonyms are common, normal, and usual. So what is the opposite of extraordinary?
Normal.
You guys are getting it. You're going to be saying in your sleep. All right. Now, we have discussed that God is pleased when we live extraordinarily, correct?
Yes.
We cannot please God in our own strength. If left there, we would be sad. But we have some great news from the Apostle Peter. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we have everything we need to live. A life that pleases God. It was all given to us by God's own power. Or it could be written, we have everything we need to live an extraordinary life. It was all given to us by God's grace. Grace is a free gift. It not only forgives us of our sins, but it also imparts Jesus' divine nature and empowers us to live holy so that we can behold him and know him. Are you with me? Now we're going to see another aspect of grace, one which I am particularly charged up about, all right? And I'm going to open up by showing you this aspect of grace by reading to you some words that Jesus said in John 15, verse 16. Jesus said, you did not choose me. I chose you and appointed you. Everybody point your finger at yourself and say, I'm appointed. And appointed you. See, you weren't appointed by the president. You weren't appointed by a man or a woman. You were appointed by Jesus. I appointed you that you should go and bear much fruit, the kind of fruit that endures. Now, what kind of fruit is Jesus talking about? He tells us in John 14, verse 2. He said, the truth is anyone who believes in me. Everybody say anyone.
Anyone.
Say it again.
Anyone
who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works. Did you hear that? The Apostle Paul didn't write that. Peter didn't write that. Jesus, out of his own mouth, said anyone. Notice he doesn't say, if any pastor believes in me. He doesn't say, if any evangelist, any apostle. He says, if anyone believes in me, the works that I have done, he shall do, and greater works he shall do. Now, I don't know about you, but that really excites me. And this is another aspect of grace. Grace gives us the ability to go beyond our own natural ability. Paul makes a statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. Paul says, and God is able to make all grace. Everybody say all grace.
All grace.
Not some grace, not 95% grace. All grace.
All grace.
Abound. You hearing these words? God is able to make all grace abound to you. Everybody say me.
Me.
Not just the apostles. That you always, are you hearing the word always and all? Are you getting this? That you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. That's staggering. Abounding, empowering grace equips us to meet every need we may encounter. Anything can be accomplished in regard to bringing heaven's provision to earth for grace has freely provided it all. Now, this is another aspect of grace that isn't talked about very much. Jesus made an interesting statement. I'm going to start out by talking about this. In the Lord's Prayer, he said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, how many of you know that's a futuristic prayer? It wasn't a futuristic prayer for Jesus, and it wasn't a futuristic prayer for us, but it was a futuristic prayer for the apostles. Are you with me? Let me set this up by saying this. He's talking about the kingdom. Now, how many of you know Jesus preached a lot about the kingdom? You know what's interesting to me? God gave you and I the kingdom. not religion. And I think we need to think more like kingdom people. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, let me just set this up. The Pharisees one day, they were really getting upset with Jesus because there were a lot of people that were saying he's the Messiah. But you know, the Pharisees had a concept of how Messiah was going to come, and their concept was interestingly developed by their study of Old Testament scripture. Because Isaiah the prophet said, for unto us a child is born, a son is given, the government shall rest upon his shoulders, and of his kingdom there'll be no end. So they've got a concept of a militant, warring, conquering Messiah coming, delivering them from Roman oppression and rule, establishing the throne of David and ruling forever and ever and ever. But when Jesus comes as a boy from Nazareth with a bunch of prostitutes and mafia following him because the tax collectors were the mafia of the day, they go, hold it, this is not the way we expect Messiah. So finally, they're getting so frustrated that these people are claiming Jesus to be the Messiah. They finally confront Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, and they said, all right, you're the Messiah. Where's the kingdom? Come on, Isaiah said, you would set up the throne, and of your government and of your increase, there would be no end. Where is it? And Jesus looked back at him and said, hey, don't say it's here and don't say it's there. The kingdom of God is within. Specifically, he said, it's within you. Now, when he said you, he wasn't talking to those Pharisees because he said, you are of your father, the devil. Are you with me? Who he was talking to is those that would become born again and become children of God. Are you with me? Because Jesus makes this statement. It's absolutely startling. He says in Luke's gospel, the 12th chapter, the 32nd verse, he says, do not fear, little flock. It is your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All right? So we got to ask, when did the kingdom come? All right? The answer is simple. The day of Pentecost. See, the apostles asked the same thing, the same nagging question when they were with Jesus right before he ascended to heaven. So Jesus has died on the cross. He's been buried. He's raised from the dead. They know, man, this is Messiah, right? So they look at him. They say, okay, we know you're the Messiah. There's no question about it. But where's the kingdom? They said, are you going to now at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They said that in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. But listen to what Jesus says to them. He said, the times and the occasions are set by my Father's own authority, and it is not for you to know when they will be, in other words, the establishment of his physical kingdom, all right? But when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be filled with power. Power to do what? Establish the kingdom. Are you with me? I said, are you with me? The kingdom that he's talking about is the kingdom within the hearts of men and women. Now, though this deals with them inwardly, this also will affect their lives outwardly, because 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not just fancy talk, it's living by God's power. When did God's power come? On the day of Pentecost. What did Peter say on the day of Pentecost? He said, hey, God's promise of the infilling of his power and his Holy Spirit was made for you, to your children, and to all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God calls. That includes you and me. Can you say amen to that? So we now possess the power. Everybody say the power. To advance the kingdom. Okay? So Jesus answered their question. Not about an outward establishment. He answered it about the inward. All right? Which would definitely affect our outward. Now, on earth as it is in heaven, let's discuss the manner in which Jesus brought heaven's ways to earth. All right? It's easy to see his passion in the Gospels. To give, to heal, to liberate, to reveal wisdom for the successful and meaningful living, right? We see that Jesus was a light to those who were in darkness. We see he was life to those who were dead. We see that he was the comforter to the weary, the healer of the sick, the door of freedom to those that were bound. He was the way to the lost. He was the truth to the confused. He was the shepherd to the wearied souls, the savior of the helpless. He was the redeemer of the captives. And the list goes on and on and on. Are you with me? He brought heaven to earth. And he said, to see me is to see the Father. Correct? But now listen to the amazing words that he speaks to us right before he leaves. He says in John 20, verse 21, he says, as the Father has sent me, listen to these words, so I now send you. As the Father sent me to do what? To bring the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. I now am sending you. That's a good place to say amen. This is why Jesus repeatedly says this in the Gospels. John 13, verse 20 is one such example. Make sure you get this right. I love the Message Bible. Make sure you get this right. Receiving someone I send is the same as receiving me, Jesus. just as receiving me, Jesus, is the same as receiving the Father who sent me. Now, with the apostles, do you remember in the Gospels? The interesting thing was the kingdom was only near them. It wasn't in them. If you'll look in Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, and when Jesus called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out to heal all kinds of diseases, right? Once Jesus gives them this power, listen to what he says in the 7th and 8th verse. Go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is near. Everybody say near.
Near.
It's not here, near. Did you get it? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, and cast out demons. Right? They were to declare God's kingdom. God's will was to be done on earth as it is in heaven. If there was a condition, now listen carefully to these words. If there was a condition in a person's life that was not congruent to heaven's standard, it was to change. People are not tormented by demons in heaven. People do not have leprosy or any other diseases in heaven. People are not sick in heaven. People are not hungry in heaven. People don't lack creativity in heaven. People don't suffer lack in heaven. Are you with me?
Yeah.
The power they've been given was to change what was contrary on earth to the way it is in heaven. Wow. In regard to meeting physical needs, the apostles had a real, real big opportunity. They were in the wilderness. There was about 4,000, I believe it was this incident, where there was 4,000 men. They hadn't eaten in 3 days. Right? You know what Jesus looked at his disciples and said? Because the disciples came to him and said, Jesus, we got a problem here. We got 4,000 men. They haven't eaten in 3 days. And you know what Jesus looked at him and said? You give them something to eat. But you know what they said? His desire, let me say this. His desire for them was to utilize the power of grace to meet the needs of those men. There was to be no lack, even as there's no lack in heaven. However, they couldn't grasp it. So you know what they said? They said it would take a small fortune to buy food for all this crowd. That's Mark 6:37. So what did they do? Immediately reverted back to their own natural ability. So what did Jesus do? He just said, all right, guys, I'll take care of it since you can't believe. So Jesus brought heaven to those men. He met their physical needs. There are no hungry people in heaven. They had an opportunity. They missed. Now, as far as casting out devils, as far as healing the sick, it was a slam dunk. The 12 returned saying, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So they, for some reason, they really caught that one, but they didn't really quite catch the fact that they could meet the needs of a hungry crowd through the power of grace. However, it is really important, and I'm going to really stress this. The disciples were to proclaim that the kingdom was only near. Jesus' exact words, one more time, go and announce them that the kingdom is near. Yet on the day of Pentecost, it was no longer near, it was now here. Now the hearts of men and women who are born again and filled with the Spirit of God, they're just like Jesus. They are to live just like Jesus. We see at the Last Supper, Jesus makes the statement of the Holy Spirit. He said, he lives with you now, but later he will be in you. So he said to those disciples, you've healed the sick, you've cleansed the lepers, you've raised the dead, but you've only done that with the Holy Spirit living near you. But he said, real soon, he's going to be in you. The kingdom will be in you. Because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? When you're in God, you're in his kingdom. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives on the inside of us, you got to remember, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. The Father's in heaven. Jesus is at his right hand. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead who's here. But he's not near us like the people in the Old Testament. He's in us. The kingdom is within. Now we start seeing some really cool things happening after the day of Pentecost. What happens right when they get filled with the Holy Spirit? They start speaking in foreign languages they've never been taught. The crowds, the multitudes gather because they hear them declaring the wonderful works of God. And what happens that day, 3,000 souls get saved. Not because they're operating in their own ability, they're operating in the power of the kingdom, the power of grace. A few hours later, they're going to prayer. And when they do, they see a man who's been laid crippled there for years and years and years. And Peter looks at him and says, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. What did he have? The kingdom. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. What's interesting is 5,000 more people get saved now as a result of this guy getting healed. And what's interesting is Peter can't even give the altar call because he gets arrested before he can even do it. But 5,000 still get saved. Peter and John are now brought before the Sanhedrin. These are the very men that Jesus denied Jesus in front of. Matter of fact, it weren't even these men that he denied Jesus in front of. It was actually their servant girls. Now he's in front of these men who crucified Jesus. And Peter, the Bible says, is bold. And the Bible says that they recognize the boldness of Peter and John. What's happening? The kingdom's within, baby, and he's operating in that grace. Are you with me? They finally release him. And you know what Peter said? He said to those guys, the Sanhedrin, he said, hey, it was faith in the name of Jesus that raised up this man and made him whole. So finally, when these Sanhedrin cannot find any accusation against him, they release him. Peter and John go back to the church. And you know what happens? The whole building shakes when they pray. And then listen to what the Bible says after the building shakes. Acts 4:33, with great power, everybody say great power. The apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and great grace. I'm going to say it again. Great grace was upon them all. Do you see right here that grace is being ascribed as God's empowerment? With great power, the apostles gave witness of the Lord's resurrection, and great grace was upon them. Why? Because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not word and deed, it is power. And that power is called his free gift of grace. Right there, it's ascribed. That the apostles doing miracles in people's lives. What were they doing? What were the miracles they were doing? Anything in a person's life that wasn't congruent to heaven, it changed. Because why? They had the kingdom within. And they were causing the kingdom to manifest in those who lacked what was happening in heaven. Listen to Jesus' words. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. When are we going to believe? Grace is not only the gift of forgiveness. It's not only the gift of his imparted nature. It's not only the empowerment to live a holy life, but it's God's empowerment to advance the kingdom. See, the problem is many times people have trouble ministering to others because they do it in their own strength, not the power of the grace. I challenge you. Go to work and say, God, I need your grace. I need your grace to be a witness of your resurrection at the place I work. Now, don't go in there and be obnoxious. Just go in there and live. When are we going to really figure this out? It's not about our ability. You lean on your ability, the grace of God, he backs off. Because he says, I'm not going to let any flesh glory in my presence. But when you go in there going, okay, God, I'm going to just yield. Have at it. I'm your vessel. Let your grace be great. See, now you understand why I said I'm a grace junkie. I'm after grace. I'm praying in the morning, God, I want more grace. I want grace not only to be added to my life, I want it multiplied in my life. Why? Because I want so desperately for people to see Jesus Christ in me. I don't want them to see the vessel. I want them to see the treasure in the vessel. That's what I'm interested in. Are you with me? Boy, this is good. Now, sadly, at first, the church didn't recognize God's empowerment to be available to every believer, as Jesus made it clear at the Last Supper. Seems it was viewed only for the apostles. Are you with me? However, this eventually changed. We see glimpses of it in the 5th chapter of Acts. Because now, not just Peter's preaching, but everybody's preaching. Because listen to what it says in Acts 5:42. It says, and daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus is the Christ. Every house. They didn't have radio. They didn't have satellite. There's no way Peter could have preached to 500,000 people's homes every single day. That means the believers figured out we've been empowered with the kingdom. We've been empowered with grace to advance the kingdom. Are you with me? Now, this is where we start hearing the word multiplication. Now, listen carefully. Now, in those days, this is Acts chapter 6, verse 1, so the very next verse after what I just read to you. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, everybody say, multiplying. It's the first time you're going to find multiplying in the book of Acts. Previously, it's only added because only the apostles. When it's just the apostles operating in the grace to advance the kingdom, you're only going to have addition. I mean, I'll read some of them. Acts 2:41, in that day about 3,000 souls were added to the Lord. Look at Acts 2:47, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Acts 5:14, believers were increasingly added to the Lord. So we just hear added. You will not find multiplied until you get to Acts chapter 6 after the believers start operating in the grace of God. Now we read in Acts 6 verse 7, just a couple of verses later, then the word of God spread and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly. Everybody say multiplied greatly. Now allow me to share with you the difference between addition and great multiplication. If Pastor Mark here was to win 500,000 people to the Lord every month, and how many of you would say that's a pretty good ministry? Do you know how long it would take him to reach the world? 1,000 years. Provided in that 1,000 years, nobody was born and nobody died. Do you understand how long 1,000 years is? Let me just give you a reference. Go back 1,000 years. Christopher Columbus isn't even born. There's no United States of America. Matter of fact, King Louis XIV of France wasn't even heard of. 1,000 years is a long time. Yet nobody could be born and nobody could die in that 1,000 years. And that's how long it would take Pastor Mark to reach the world if he's winning 500,000 people a month. That's addition. Now, you want to know what great multiplication is? If you go out and impact two people's lives by the grace of God on your life, and you get them excited, you get them in church, and the next month, those two people each go out and impact two people. And then the next month, those four people each go out and impact two people each. And then the next month, those eight people go out and impact two people each. You know how long it'll take you to reach the United States of America? 1 year and 10 months. Do you know how long it takes to reach the world? 2 years and 9 months. One is addition and one is great multiplication. Do you see how far we've fallen short simply because we've not preached the grace of God as it is? This is what transpired in the early church. This is why we read. Listen, Acts 19, verse 9 and 10. Paul left and took followers with him to the lecture hall. He lectured them, listen, of Tyrannus. He spoke there every day for 2 years until every Jew and Gentile in Asia had heard the Lord's message. Okay, are you capturing this? Do you know what the population of Asia Minor was at that time? 11 million people. Listen to these words. Every Jew and Gentile in Asia heard the word of the Lord. How many of you know that the Bible can't make an overstatement? Do you know what an overstatement is? Here's an overstatement. I went fishing last Saturday up at the reservoir, and I caught every fish in the lake. Now, what is that guy trying to tell you? He's trying to say, man, we caught a boatload, but he didn't catch every fish in the lake. That is an overstatement. It is a lie. Okay? Are you with me? How many of you know that God's word can't make an overstatement? Now think this through with me. When God's word says every human being, both Gentile and Jew, in all of Asia Minor heard the word of the Lord in 2 years, there is no way all of Asia Minor, 11 million people, could parade through the school of Tyrannus. What is Paul doing? He's doing exactly what I'm doing with you today. He is telling them, you got the grace of God to do what? To advance the kingdom. Quit doing it in your own ability. Because what did Paul say? Now if you're going to try to perfect, right? You're going to try to perfect your Christian life through your own human effort, you've received God's grace in vain. Do you remember he said that? So the problem is we got too many people operating in their own efforts. They're like the disciples. How could we buy this much food for this much people? Jesus just goes, I told you to give them something to eat. I told you, me, the Lord of glory, the word of God revealed in the flesh, told you to feed them. Amen. Do you need anything else? No, you don't. See, this is the key. We've got to hear what his word is in the situation we're at. Lord, speak to me about the people at work. Now, don't get me wrong. This is not time for you to go and preach to everybody when you're at work. You're being paid to work. You better work. Don't steal from your employer. However, You can be hard at work and be a shining bright witness. You want to talk to him? If God puts in you to talk to him at lunch break. Invite him over for dinner. But if every one of us starts moving out in the grace of God and we start multiplying like they did at the school of Tyrannus, 11 million people. Look, there's no satellites. There is no radio. Yet every person in Asia Minor, 11 million people, heard the word of the Lord in 2 years. I'm telling you, Paul got a hold of it. He saw what happened when only Peter and John were operating in the power of God. He didn't see it. He knew of what happened. The others shared with him what happened. Because now, what do they say? These men have turned the world upside down. They understood the power of grace. Because great grace was upon the apostle. And the apostle said, hey, that same grace. We remember now, Jesus said, if any believer, if anyone believes in me, are you with me? I said, are you with me? If you track the book of Acts, I mean, it's amazing. You're going to discover there were believers who were not apostles, they were not prophets, they were not evangelists, pastors or teachers, that were doing extraordinary things through the grace of God. One of them, Stephen. Stephen works at a restaurant. The church happened to have a Starbucks. And he was one of the Starbucks workers at the church giving people their lattes before service on Sunday morning. Are you with me? But you know what the Bible says about Stephen who worked at the church's restaurant? Acts 6:8. Stephen, a man full of God's grace. I'm reading to you from the Bible. Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. I'm getting passionate right now. Oh. Not only was there great grace upon the apostles now to advance the kingdom, there's great grace upon everyone because they realized Jesus said, if any person, man, woman, child. Not only did Stephen operate in the miraculous, he was strong in truth as well. Listen to what the Bible says about him. Because some zealots from the synagogue started to debate with him, okay? And through God's grace, he spoke the word of the Lord brilliantly. Because listen what the Bible says about this restaurant worker. None of them was able to stand against the wisdom and the spirit by which Stephen spoke. He didn't look at them and go, you know what? I need to have my pastor talk to you about this. Because he realized grace was on his life. It wasn't just on Peter's life. He was full of grace and power.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. Our hope is to release you into a fulfilled life in Christ. Connect with us today by visiting our website at messengerinternational.org. Here you can sign up to receive updates from John and Lisa, search for additional resources, and look at John and Lisa's schedule to see when they'll be in an area near you. Be transformed.